Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Chris Statlander is hit by a car. There's no honor for the learning tree, and we got a pair of Wills returning in the main event. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. George Hermosa reading the book, but Jimmy Corderas, stop the presses. Where did you get that beautiful WCW late period WCW baseball cat, my friend?
Found it in the basement archives of Cordero's household. Yes,
that is a good one. Wow, I bet that one. That's what do they sell that model on the website anymore? I wonder, because that logo was only there for a little bit,
right? And it's interesting because I'm looking at the manufacturer. It doesn't look like the normal WWE manufacturer. So. Yeah. Trying to remember where I got it. It's in pristine condition. So
that's the WWF WCW logo.
Yes.
It was in WCW for a very short period of time before the change. Very, very short period of time. After they had the Eric Bischoff called the cat butthole logo for a while. That is a quote. I'm allowed to say it.
Sure. Hey, it's a direct quote. It's a direct quote.
But George Hermosa, good to see you, pal. How are you?
Well, I didn't know they were real brothers. I thought it was a gimmick the whole time. They're kind of like the old school detective Hardy Boys. Like, hey, we're gonna be the Hardy Boys today. I didn't know they're legit brothers. Huh. Learn something new every day.
Who would have guessed, other than the fact that they look exactly the same? But a lot of good stuff going on today. I can't wait to chat about tonight's show. Goodfella with a question I just want to get to right off the bat. It says, is AEW review only? Yes, AEW review only. Unfortunately, the reason I can't really get into the whole we're not covering NXT, but just because on Wednesday does not fix the problem for us here on the West Coast. So here on the West Coast, that show is going live now.
I thought he was asking, like, is it just a review, or is it like review and like a karaoke as well?
There might be karaoke. If we get a lot of super chats. I mean, lot of super chats. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some news. We're going to start with some sad news. AEW original Marco Stunt announced his retirement over the week recently, but added some additional details as to why the retirement, saying, quote, "It's just something that I've been trying to put off. I knew it was bound to happen eventually, but I thought I might have a few more years in me." He explained that he underwent several tests and discovered that his right hip is rotating inwards, causing him pain, and that his right leg is shorter than his left leg because of this. Then saying, quote, "Their recommendation was for my long-term health to step away because there's that possibility of being paralyzed." Ooh, Jimmy, I mean, always tough to step away from something that is a dream. But yeah, I think when this is going on, you got to step away.
Right. And congrats to him for recognizing that. Obviously, you don't want to see him get hurt. You don't want to see these things happen. And like you said, people are living out their dreams when they're doing this. It is a lifelong dream for so many of them, and having to step away from it is very difficult to do. But, you know, like, hats off to him for realizing that family comes first. As much as you love what you do, I realize it too far, too late into my career. But, you know, your number one love is your family. And he's, if I'm not mistaken, he said something about wanting to be able to play with his children. And if this injury goes further along, like you said, it may be cause of paralysis. And that's the case. Then you don't get to do the, and have those moments with your children and your family. So, you know, my heart goes out to him, but at the same time, smart young man.
Yeah, George, it's one of those things as you get older, injuries, they don't get easier. They don't get better. And sometimes I think, you know, when I was younger, there were so many things I did that I was like, I'll be fine if I don't, if I just deal with it. But as I get older, I'm like, no, just kidding. It doesn't go away. And so when you have stuff like this, especially talking about being paralyzed, you definitely need to think long term. That said, George, I'd like your thoughts on what do you think the legacy of Marco Stunt will be in pro wrestling or AEW?
I think the legacy of Marco Stunt is going to be somebody who was able to live out his dreams. I know he had a lot of detractors due to his size, but nevertheless, regardless if you were a fan of his or not, he got to not only live out his dream, but he got to live out a lot of other people's dream, because there are a lot of people out there, and Jack, you know them very well, and I'm sure you as well, Jimmy, that Marco Stunt has had the career, especially in AEW, that a lot of people wish they had. And not only that, he was able to come back for that one match with Jack Perry not too long ago. That kind of put everything into first full circle, which was pretty cool. But yeah, overall, I think he's going to be a guy that pretty much lived out his dream, as you guys mentioned, but also was able to prove wrong a lot of the naysayers for being on such a global spotlight that he's been able to be on with AEW.
Yeah, Jimmy, last thing on this, and something that George just mentioned, and this is what I always say about just about everybody who's in pro wrestling. We always talk about whether or not, like, how good wrestlers are and stuff. And I always think if you're on network television, you have done better than 99% of wrestlers in history. Marco Stunt, compared to all pro wrestlers in history, had a pretty good career and was able to do some pretty cool things. Personally, for me, like George said, some people love him, some people hated him. He always brought joy to me when he was on my television screen, when he was a part of Jurassic Express back in the day. I think that it's unfortunate, but you got to say he's leaving with a pretty good career behind him.
No, absolutely. And like you said, George, anybody who ends up on national television, and you know, who gets that opportunity nowadays? Yes, the rosters are huge for both major promotions, but at the same time, how many get to maximize their TV time? And that's what he did when he was on TV, is he maximized those minutes. Mm-hmm. And he got people to react, and he got people to get invested, and that's the main thing.
And also being able to, and I don't mean this lightly, to be able to walk away. Keyword is walk, because Jimmy, obviously you're just a little bit older than us, but I'm sure you've, you know, had colleagues, friends, peers not have, and I don't mean that they're paralyzed, but I mean like as if like a lot of people just kind of live consistently in pain nowadays because of the wear and tear and the bumps and the bruises that they did. And from what I hear, the not so friendly ring that was back in the 80s, you know. Being able for him to be so young and still be able to walk away, and like you said, still be young enough to healthy enough to be playing with his kids in the future, things like that, I think really is a big win for Marco Stunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say I had some knee issues a while ago, and my knees to this day will still sometimes give me headaches. Mm-hmm. And it was not an issue of me being a pro wrestler, let me tell you. So I can only imagine some of the aches and pains pro wrestlers have after their careers.
One day when we have time, I'm going to explain the differences between the rings we used to use back then and the ring they use now. It's a major difference.
I've heard stories.
Yeah.
Well, some bad news, AEW Rampage has some more bad news, hit an all-time low in viewership. This rating on Friday's Rampage was 172,000, according to Programming Insider, a demo of 0.05 rating. George, this is, to me, I mean, it makes sense. This is a show that what never really was considered a priority, or I don't think ever really was considered mandatory television for Keeping Up with AEW. And now that it's ending, I think everyone's kind of like, forget it.
Yeah, like I said, it was fun for what it was. I compared it to the old school, like in the early 90s, wrestling challenge, where you just had a bunch of squash matches. You knew who was going to go over. There was never really any kind of storyline progression of what we saw in the ring. It was just a great place to showcase some talent. I think a lost art these days is finishing moves, and not so much people kicking out of them is that really knowing what somebody's submission move is. Back in the 80s, 90s, we knew Mr. Perfect's finishing move that I heard Jimmy Corderas named a perfect plex. We knew Rick Rude's finishing move. We knew all these people's finishing moves. And now because of Rampage, we kind of know some of these finishing moves because we see them and we know who's going to win because of, you know, of how it's being, how it's being produced. So for that, it was good, but in the grander scheme of what we have, Collision, Dynamite, even going to the other place, you have Raw and SmackDown are always a big deals. When you have the main event show, that is what is it only on the Peacock or is it still on Hulu nowadays? I don't even know, but maybe it'd be easier if it was on a network or internet exclusive show, but for it being on TNT, it doesn't surprise me that it's at an all-time low, but I do hope that there will be something in the future where we're able to see some of these guys get showcased in a, I guess, enhancement kind of role when it comes to showcasing what they can do in the ring.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think that's the real sad takeaway of Rampage potentially going away. Thoughts on, if you have any insight on the numbers, again, I feel like this is just a show that is getting the plug pulled so people are tuning out. But I think the sad thing about it going away is there are a lot of local wrestlers, people who haven't been signed, who are getting national television experience, not just to be able to have the experience in a big arena or be in front of a camera, learn finding the hard cam, stuff like that, that maybe isn't available at local indies. But also that helps the pay rate when you can say I've been on a national television, or when you can add, a national television program to your reel. That's a bummer that people might be losing that opportunity.
Absolutely. That's a different angle that I didn't even think about until you brought it up, Jack. That's very astute of you. And it is an extra thing. It's an extra, like you said, feather in their cap. And if it helps them out on the indies when they're working, paying the bills, getting to sell more merchandise, whatever the case may be, if they get to hang out with Matt Cardona and get some little figures made of themselves, whatever the case may be, it's a win-win for everybody. But like you said, George, getting to appear on television is the main thing, and getting to see faces that you don't normally see on the main two shows, like Collision or Dynamite. And that's the unique thing about it. And that's the unfortunate thing, that because of that roster being so big, we won't get to see some talents unless they try to shoehorn them in like they tend to do sometimes.
Yeah. Well, Ricochet shoehorned himself into New Japan Pro Wrestling Power Struggle. Zack Sabre Jr. and him got into a bit of a tussle. Later, on X, Ricochet said he had to remind the world that I'm still the effing man around here. Jimmy, I love to hear this about Ricochet because it feels like he's doing all the things that he wasn't able to do in the past. And that's not a shot against WWE. That's the way contracts are set up. But I like that he's taking advantage of this time and sounds like he's doing a lot.
Yeah, especially going back to where he made a name for himself originally was in Japan. So for him, it's a no-brainer to go back there. It's still a little too much, I think. I don't want him to go there too much and overextend himself and kind of make that seem like his focal point. Mm-hmm. He's not with AEW. Yes, he appeared tonight. We saw him. We all know about that. But it almost feels like the way he presented that, it sounded like Japan was his main focus and AEW was the reason why he's able to go there, if that makes any kind of sense. Even though if he didn't sign with AEW after leaving WWE, there was an open door policy for him, I'm sure, going back there.
Yeah.
But it just feels like that's his priority over AEW at the moment. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, George, do you think that Ricochet being in both companies kind of takes away the mystique of Ricochet coming back, or do you think Ricochet is someone who we all know who he is? So let's just see him wrestle.
Well, I think overall being in two companies, I think takes away a little bit from me having the urgency to see him in AEW. Because if you're somebody that just maybe can watch him in New Japan, oh, why am I going to watch AEW? What can I watch in New Japan? Why am I going to watch him in New Japan? What can I watch him in AEW? And that kind of, I kind of see why AEW does that too. You know, oh, we want them to be free and be happy. So kind of, I get that's kind of part of the reason why somebody will join AEW. But for the most part, I mean, if Ricochet is happy, that's all that really matters. I mean, nobody else can define someone else's success. So if that's what that makes that person happy, then I'm all for it. I'd like to see him do more maybe in AEW because we're already seeing kind of maybe 50-50. But either way, it should be fun for him to see against Zack Sabre Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be a fun one for sure. There was a comment I wanted to mention, but I think Maria had mentioned Tony could have booked Rampage a little better. He could have, but I don't think it was ever the main goal for them. There was a comment. I'm sorry, I lost it here in the chat, but someone had mentioned how, Sonny Sitar, here it is. Fans paid tickets to see Dynamite live and then had an extra hour to watch them tape Rampage. I'm going to be honest, and people know me famously, after 2 hours, I start to get a little restless. So I'll be honest, when I went to their shows here, once Rampage started taping, I'd always get a little restless. I'd always be like, I mean, the main show's done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to hang out. And Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this, because you've seen crowds and you've seen different cities your whole life. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, I feel like they were burning out towns sometimes by giving too much, especially because there'd be like Ring of Honor before and then Dynamite and then there'd be Rampage out. I'm like, man, it's like an 8 hour show. Next time they come through, I feel a little burned out. By them.
No, absolutely. You can burn out your crowd really easily. I remember the days when SmackDown was taped on Tuesdays and then aired on Thursdays. And sometimes there was a rare occasion where we'd have to do two SmackDown tapings back to back because we were heading overseas or something like that. And imagine after, first of all, you got to do your Sunday night heat shows, the 2 hour SmackDown, then another 2 hour taping, which fortunately they could insert a lot of video vignettes to eat up some of the time. But by the time the second taping ends, man, that crowd is like burnt out. Not even popcorn can save it.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, you're very... I got, and then when you see that they're coming back, you're like, oh man, do I want to sit through 8 hours again? And I know you can say you don't need to get there that early, you don't need to stay that late, but then you feel like you're missing so much show. I don't know. I
have a question though, and this is going to be more dollars and cents. So when you pay for a ticket, how many hours should you be, you know, should they be giving you for the value of your ticket?
I'm happy with 2 hours. I feel like I would rather two. All killer, no filler, great hours of a show, than 3 hours or 5 hours where there's a bunch of stuff where I'm like, eh.
But what if it's 3 hours of all killer and no filler?
At some point, there's no such thing as all killer, no filler.
I'm getting at, though, is like, so for example, let's say the last time that Monday Night Raw was in LA, you know, it was 3 hours long. Now you're paying the same amount of money to watch a 2 hour Raw. Like, is that fair?
I prefer it. Honestly, I do.
But so even when it comes to money, it's like, you don't mind paying the same amount for less, you know, less of a show.
Yeah. I'd rather, it's the same thing with a movie, getting a movie ticket. As Danny Cochran makes the joke, Jack walks out of movies after 2 hours, never seeing the ending.
I mean, that is a good point, because a movie will be the same price, whether it's 3 hours long or an hour and a half.
Yeah. That's a fair point. But just remember, now that there are 2 hours, they do still have pre-show matches and post-show matches, and you don't get as many videos. I mean, when they were 3 hours, we did see a lot of video packages and sort.
Like for example, I feel like, and I haven't been to a show recently, it feels like there's a couple more post-dark matches on Raw now that it's 3 hours, now that it's 2 hours. Maybe I feel like they feel like, okay, let's have two or three extra matches at the end, as opposed to when back in the day, sometimes we would see zero and sometimes we would see one.
I will say that Carlos Barrera says, for my ticket, I want 3 hours. For a wrestling show or sporting event, 3 hours isn't egregious to me. A movie, it's egregious. Sporting event, 3 hours is fine by me, but I will say 3 hours and 1 minute, I do start to get a little like, okay, we're good.
Unless it's The Godfather.
Yeah, but it's not the guy. There's only one Godfather,
Jimmy. Exactly. That's the problem.
Yes, that's the problem. lots of discussion about how long a show is. Let's make that the question of the week in the comments or in the chat. Let us know when you buy a ticket, how long of a show do you expect it to be? What do you think is a fair amount of time to make yourself happy? And in the chat, we got people who could be answering that question, like Danny Cochran, Ethan Cruz, Goodfella, Stephen Camp, Mr. X, Alicia A, where have you been? I haven't seen you in the chat in a while. Laura Rock, Joe C, lurking, Adonde, Maria, Fernando, Sonny, Stocking, Jericho, Jeroy, and Mary. Thank you all for coming through. Beer Money as well. Appreciate you all. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all the lurkers as well. 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Max Feldman says 2 hours old school Monday Night Raw. I'm with you.
Old school is 1 hour.
Yeah.
That's well, so yeah. How old school are we talking, Max? This is like when you talk to people about music and I always say, I like classic rock. And I'm always like, well, what do you mean by classic rock? Because there can mean many different times. Yeah.
You mean Hall & Oates?
Like, is it? Yeah, because nowadays I feel like people are like, yeah, you know, Blink 182, the classic stuff.
George, I like Hall & Oates. Sue me.
No, I love Hall & Oates. Yeah. I absolutely, hold on. Favorite Hall & Oates song on three. Ready? One, two, three. You Make My Dreams Come True.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I was trying to think of the name, but I see it. Da-da-da. I got it at the handle. I don't know any words in that song, but I know every word of that
you
song.
You make like, my dreams come. Wait, hold on. No. They haven't paid for it. They haven't paid for it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Five, I remember that song from 500 Days of Summer, which was a great movie.
Well,
waiting for.
Leonard Jones says classic rock like Coldplay and Foo Fighters. How dare
that's
you?
That's classic?
Droy J says Rich Girl. That's a good one.
No, she's gone too far.
That's a good
you don't
Jimmy
matter.
you had that lined up, Jimmy.
I can go for that,
but I do find people talking about classic rock
no can do no like can 80s, do
George. 70s to 60s. Let's talk about this pro wrestling show. Let's okay. Get back on track.
We all know a great worker when we see one. And that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two old field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9 to 5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FIVENINEWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
We start the show with the Hurt Syndicate coming out, and MVP explains who each member of the Hurt Syndicate is and what they're all about. MVP says that if you get a card from him, it's a golden ticket, and if you don't take it, Hurt is in your future. Swerve Strickland comes out and challenges Bobby Lashley at Full Gear. Jimmy, I really, this I thought was something that they did great that AEW has failed to do in the past, where we know who Shelton Benjamin is. We know who Bobby Lashley is. We know who MVP is, but they still told us who they are. So they just made sure that we knew what we were looking at. What did you think of this opening segment?
I enjoyed it. I thought it looked great. Bobby Shelton and MVP look menacing in the ring in suits. They look scary in suits. I love it. I love MVP and his delivery and everything. Bobby looking like the beast he is, and Shelton has found new life. Swerve coming out and demanding a match. against Bobby Lashley. My only thing is with that, I love the line. Okay, you got it, kid, which MVP threw at him, but I would have made him wait for it. You know what? You want the match with Bobby? Not yet. You know, throw out the line there. You've got to earn it. Swerve has to earn it. How much is that, you know?
But we're already seeing that with MJF and that little storyline that they're doing.
I do think, George, I want your thoughts on this segment thing. Because I love the segment, but I do have it in my notes. I was wondering, we still got a few weeks. Now that we know the match is happening, I don't really know what they're going to do for the next few weeks to keep this building. And to Jimmy's point, saying we'll let you know next week or whatever the case is, that could have at least extended it now. I don't know. Maybe they've got a story lined up, but it does feel like they've got a lot of time to kill if they've already agreed to this match.
Yeah, I feel like at some point we are going to see maybe some tag matches. I do think we are going to see Lashley's first match upcoming. But it does feel like with everything that is happening, because we saw a little bit on Collision as well, that maybe the Hurt Syndicate is open for business, that we might see some more members coming along. There was a fun little segment that I think that was on Collision that obviously we don't really talk about here, but it was with the Acclaimed. And Max Caster was taking things out of his pocket, and he had the card from MVP, and Anthony Bones was like, wait, what is that? What is that? And he kind of had to like, no, just, you know, they were just passing him out or whatever. I just was going to throw it away. Just little things like that. So I do feel like there is going to be more people that are going to be joining them. So it should be fun speculating on who the third member is, or I guess fourth member. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited that after, especially this segment, I thought it was great. Reintroduction, I guess you can say. My only beef is something so minor, it's so small. Can you call it something else? You know, it's like the Hurt, it's got to be Hurt something. Like, no, it doesn't have to be Hurt something. You can make it whatever they want it to be. Nobody is twisting their arm for it to be called the Hurt insert name here. It can be anything they want. So it would have been cool. Like, don't force yourself to come up with an I got it, Syndicate. Like, no, like, you know, you can call it anything else. You don't have to be forced to call it something with Hurt.
Jimmy, I give George a hard disagree on that. In fact, I would have fought to get Hurt Business the license for that and just keep that. That's what they know. Do you agree? Should they have gone with something different, or was Hurt Corporation would have worked? That sounds a little, I don't know. The problem is Hurt Business sounds the best, but what do you think of the name?
It does sound good. I mean, you could have come up with something different. I'm okay with it, but I love maybe something along the lines of MVP Enterprises.
They should have called it the Pain Business.
Yeah. I thought the pain experience.
George started asking for that Pain Business line. I just went,
we're going to be in the business of inflicting pain.
George, I've got a spicy question for you with this one, though. I was listening to this as they're out there, and I mean, Tony Schiavone doesn't even get to ask his question or interview him. The crowd is chanting MVP, MVP, MVP. They're chanting for Lashley like crazy. Are they more popular now than they were in WWE? No. I mean, obviously the numbers in WWE are bigger, so I'm not saying more people like them or like, you know, I'm not trying to compare it like that, but like, I never heard MVP getting chants like that before. I've never heard Bobby Lashley get those kind of chants. Like,
really?
That.
Don't you? I mean, remember when they were trying to do that little heel thing with them and the Profits, and the crowd was just not having it? They're like, no, we're going to cheer Bobby because he's amazing. MVP I can get, but they were pretty much all in on Bobby Lashley before they just flat out forgot about him.
Jimmy, do you think I have a point, or is George right? I feel like it felt like this crowd was into him.
No, they were into him, but I don't think they're more popular than they were in WWE. I think right now the crowd, it's a new thing for them. It's something they want to see. It's something fresh for that audience.
To be fair, now I think about it, the Hurt Business's prime was during the time when there was just screens in the audience. So maybe that has something.
I think somebody brought up a good point. Somebody said that this was the Hurt Business, or Syndicate, whatever you want to call it. This was their first promo in front of an audience, which is wild to think.
That is crazy. What is time? Because it doesn't feel like they were around that long ago. But Jimmy, will we? If you're the guy with the pen, Bobby Lashley's first match, is it at Full Gear against Swerve, or do you have him run through a few people first to show how dominant he is?
I don't know if you'd have to go with a few people, but at least one person, and just let him obliterate that person instead of giving them a 10, 11 minute match like Shelton. I thought Shelton's match, his first match, should have been, like I always say, with all due respect to Leo Rush, he should have just squashed him, unfortunately. That, and if we're going to get something from Bobby before Full Gear, that's what it needs to be. It needs to be a complete dominant annihilation of whoever he faces. And not somebody who they pull out of their hat from, you know, oh, we haven't seen this person on TV for 6 months, but let's put him out there because people will remember who he is.
You're talking about Hobbs.
What?
Oh, is that you? You were describing Hobbs.
Don't go jumping in. We'll get more.
Sorry. I'm jumping
ahead. We'll get ahead. To Hobbs, but.
I didn't mean to hop to Hobbs.
So you're saying basically someone, it should be someone we see regularly on TV, not just a random person that it shouldn't be. Commander's always the example I use.
Now that Fuego del Sol is not there anymore.
It should be someone who's regularly on TV, but can also take a pretty brutal pin, a brutal beating, but still be okay.
I hate to put it this way, but someone has to be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Well, I love everyone in the chat. Let us know what you think of the Hurt Syndicate and how they're going so far, man. I think this thing's got legs. I'm excited about it. Another group, though, is running roughshod, as people love to say. The Death Riders take on Pac and take on Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. The Death Riders look to jump Orange Cassidy, but it's Darby jumping off the gosh darn entryway that catches them off guard. Death Riders from that point on dominate until Wheeler, Yuta, and Marina Shafir get the match thrown out. Darby tries to fight off John Moxley, but the numbers game is too much. Eventually, the Death Riders are chased off by the Conglomeration. Later, Moxley says Yuta doesn't owe Cassidy anything, and it's not about love or respect or kindness. It's about power and violence. Jimmy, they are officially the Death Riders now, and they got a... this one was a pretty dominant display ending in a DQ. What'd you think?
I was enjoying the match until the finish. That was the only thing. I expected some shenanigans. I didn't like the way that two things. I didn't like the way it started. Orange Cassidy goading them to come up the ramp and then Darby Allin diving off of something like he always does. You know, they're there to fight for AEW instead of the little shenanigans. Come out and fight. Just come out ready to fight. That's all I want to see from them. And I enjoyed the match. I really did enjoy the tag match, but the finish with Wheeler Yuta just jumping in the ring and just ring the bell there. That's all you needed to do. You didn't have to not ring the bell and not get a decision until Marina Shafir kicked the referee and knocked him out of the ring, which, you know, that could have ended the match. Something, anything. It just, I don't know. It didn't sit well with me. It didn't need to happen that way. They could have come up with something a little more creative for the finish. But the other part that bothered me was the Conglomeration coming out and Death Riders turn tail and run. Really? That didn't sit well with me either.
See, we disagree on a lot of things on this one, Jimmy, because I will say I thought it took too long for the Death Riders to start coming after Orange Cassidy, where it started to feel a little drug out. But I thought it was fun that Darby Allin jumped off the top there. I was going to say I actually enjoyed the DQ as well, because this is one of those times where the anti thing in AEW is that they bleed too often. So when they bleed, it doesn't mean anything. I feel like it's the opposite with DQs. We don't really get DQs. So when a DQ happens, it feels like, oh,
This wasn't a DQ. The match was a no contest because there was no referee to call for a DQ.
I
know.
We all
kind apples, of potatoes, I know.
Yeah. which I guess is fair, though. It's a fair point. That's why we have you on the panel, because you notice those things. Where I'm just like, it's anarchy. Let's go. the thing I didn't like about after the DQ is I actually would have rather the Death Riders just dominate Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin instead of them getting their little, like, can they come back? I would have loved it to have been more hopeless and like, oh my God, they can do nothing in this case. George, what were your thoughts on this one? And tell me about your thoughts on, I love this mauler version of Claudio Castagnoli, just throwing people around like toys.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun seeing a new side of Claudio that we didn't really see in the WWE. But yeah, I anytime we see a new side of this guy, because I think this guy is insanely talented. If only he was good on the mic, or better on the mic, I guess you can say. By the way, another good one, Private Eyes are watching me. Sorry, I'm still on the Hall & Oates kick. Honestly, I was busy fantasy booking because I'm trying to find how, because every time I see this kind of spotlight and actual, like, and I talked about it last week, so I won't go too much into it, about all this effort being put into, like, the Death Riders are here, because we saw a lot of it on Collision. I know we keep talking about Collision. Like, oh, coming up soon, we have John Moxley is going to speak his mind. And it's like, why are you promoting him? But then I was thinking, this to me would make sense, but I don't think the execution of it would be good, because what we saw, was it 7 months ago, with you know, Tony Khan and the Young Bucks and Jungle Boy pretty much taking out Tony Khan, right? So what did Tony Khan do? He enlisted the help of the BCC, right? Now, this was before they started doing their thing as the Death Riders. So I think it would make perfect sense if the reason why we're seeing such a big spotlight and, you know, on the Death Riders is because Tony Khan is behind it. I'm not saying he's got to be the Eric Bischoff of the group, because I don't think he can pull it off. But at least that would make sense just a little bit as far as why there's so much focus on these guys. Now, maybe Tony Khan said something where, like, hey, at the time I made the deal with them, I didn't think it was going to get like this. But that's the only thing I can think of as far as why we're seeing, like, oh, coming up next, we're seeing John Moxley.
Mm-hmm. You know how you make it work? It's simple, George. Actually, this is a great idea. What you do is you have a hooded figure come to the ring, and Tony Khan takes it off, and he says, it was me all along.
But I don't disagree with you. I think storyline purpose, it would make all the sense in the world. However, can he pull it off? I don't think he's got the chops to pull it off, I guess you could say.
You know what? That's why I can't go for that. Sorry. George got it. Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you, George. George got it.
Oh, I missed it. I thought.
Yeah, I think Jack's a little out of touch here.
Jack is clearly.
I'm out of touch.
Sorry.
Are you still with the Hall & Oates?
I can't help myself sometimes.
God.
Say it isn't so.
I'm just the man eater. What can I tell you?
I do want to say, I want to give
because
commentary.
Your kiss is on. Oh, sorry,
last I want one. To give commentary a little bit of credit here, because it was a small detail, but Conglomeration came out, chased off the Death Riders. I like how, I think it was Nigel said, I can't remember which one it was, but someone said they were getting ready for their match. That's why they weren't able to come out right away, which is a silly, like, I think the reality is, well, wouldn't that mean they're closer to the ring? But it's at least a little story that I can go, okay, that's why it took so long. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. I'm glad they did that. Cause otherwise, yeah. Why did you wait so long to come out? Oh, okay. They were doing something to get ready. It's simple, but I love it. Jeroy J says it was Nigel who said it. Good detail. Nigel's one of my favorites, by the way.
By the way, every week we should, like, pick a band and just start inserting the song title at some point throughout the show.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Oh, you want to go aha? Uh-huh? No.
No.
Take on me. That's all I got, right?
I only got one.
We'll have to all be sketched characters for that episode.
Yeah. They only got one? They only got one?
That I know. I'm sure they got more, but they only got one that I know of.
Well, say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so.
Weezer.
That's Weezer.
But I think he's still going with Holidays.
Conglomeration versus the Learning Tree. Fight without honor.
Say it right.
The Learning Tree.
There.
This is the train wreck match of the week, and it looked very like it. It's the train wreck match of the week, and it looked like every match I play in wrestling video games where I turn all the rules off, there's weapons everywhere, and just a bunch of people beating each other up. Ishii gets the pin by pinning Jericho. George, this is my style of match, just anarchy and craziness everywhere, so I enjoyed it. But I thought it was clever here. They got rid of Big Bill so he could still look dominant when everything went down at the end, and also Ishii getting the win so he can challenge Jericho while also opening up Mark Briscoe to take on the Death Riders, which seems like that's the direction they're going.
Yeah, this was a fun match, and I've really liked what I've seen with the Learning Tree the last, you know, few weeks, maybe close to a month or two. As mentioned, I love him as World Ring of Honor champion. I think it makes sense. I just don't like that they kind of forgot about Mark Briscoe for a little bit. But, you know, it's going to show that, you know, there's still this feud lingering with all of them. Yeah, Big Bill has been showing out, of course, every single week. I think he is one of the shining stars in just all of AEW, not just any Learning Tree segment that there is. But, yeah, this was just a fun one overall. Mark Briscoe is just a delight to see, whether it's on the mic, whether it's him putting elbows through tables and whatnot. I just wish they made a bigger deal, because it was Shivani. I love Shivani, but he was just like, oh, we see an elbow through the table. I just would have liked to see that spot mean a little more to the presentation.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. Jimmy, thoughts on this one? And also, as George mentioned, Big Bill. Every time I see this guy, I'm like, this is a future world champion. Like, this is a...
I thought the same thing.
Top guy in the company. Are George and I overbuying on Big Bill, or do you think he could be the world champion?
I don't think you're overbuying on him, because now he's starting to show himself, because the one thing we didn't get to see from him a lot was character presentation, his skills on the mic. Now he's found that he's got a confidence. You see a different confidence in him when he talks on the mics, and that's a big part of it. He had the in-ring stuff. That's not the issue. The issue was, you know, the overall package, and I think he has the overall package right now. And as far as the match goes, I thought it was fun. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. They accomplished two goals, like you said, in getting the match with Ishii against Jericho, which is what the direction they wanted to go, and separate Mark Briscoe from that equation with Jericho and send him off on his other path. Yes. Which was important too. So they accomplished two goals in this match, and that's pretty good.
I always think one of the things that is helping Big Bill on the microphone, in my opinion, is if you ever do an improv class or something, one of the first things they have you do is something that's really stupid and silly to kind of open you up. Like, they'll have you go through the life cycle of a plant, you know, growing, you have to act like a plant and silly, or meow like a cat and do silly things, and it opens you up. And I think that being silly in the Learning Tree and not taking himself seriously is opening him up to now, like, okay, so now when I do stuff, it's okay if I'm silly and I'm open. And I think it's breaking him out a little bit. And, man, world champion. He's in shape. He's huge. He can talk. He's someone who I think they need to put the strap on eventually, not today. But,
right.
But yeah.
You can see he's having fun. You can see he's enjoying it, and he's on TV every week.
Yes. Yes, and I think he's the biggest guy in AEW right now, besides Singh. Satnam Singh, who I don't know if you can, because he doesn't really wrestle. But I think as far as actual wrestling every week or regularly, I think he's the biggest guy. And dang, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's great. Adam Cole, baby, took on Malakai Black. Black had said that he wants Cole to be the one to, quote, silence the voices during the match. Black avoids the injured ankle, and Adam Cole even shakes Adam Cole's hand mid-match. Adam Cole kicks out of the Malakai's finisher. Cole continues to fight until Malakai Black sits cross-legged and accepts his fate, losing to Cole, and the two hug afterwards. Cole explains that if both him and Roderick Strong get to three wins, it'll become a triple threat match. George, this match felt weird to me. Something felt off, and on social media, there are people who are guessing that this might have been Malakai Black's farewell match.
It sure felt that way. Because why else would they do what they did like that, right? Like, at the end of the day, let's say he wasn't leaving. Like, then that would just make no sense at all. Like, you have this group, this House of Black group, that is so dark, so ominous, so mysterious, so badass, if anything. And you have, like, oh, I lost. Let me shake your hand and give you a hug. Like, that's just weird for that group. So, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why are we seeing this? I don't know contract situations. I know that he signed a little over 3 years ago. So, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just guessing here. So, I thought that part was a little weird as far as that post-match little buddy-buddy whatnot. And it'd be really weird if, let's say, he's not gone, like I just mentioned, and they don't at least, like reference that, right? Now maybe we'll see down the road, because I know House of Black has a match upcoming on like Collision, I think, or it was next week's Dynamite with FTR. Is it going to be Brody and Buddy? Is it going to be, you know, Malachi or whoever? And if it is, are they going to take, what were you doing? What were you doing hugging Adam Cole like that, right? Like, just, you know, whatever. We still need to see Julie Hart back at some point. But either way, I thought the match was good. You know, going back to some of their NXT matches that they referenced, Aleister Black or Malachi Black always won. But it was a good match. I'd like to see Adam Cole back in his groove. Still think this storyline with MJF and the Kingdom, whatever, it needs to be over. So, I it's one of those where in this kind of non-sports entertainment kind of environment, I hate that we're just kind of seeing this random angle, random shot of MJF. Like, so like, are you not going to acknowledge that maybe there's a camera there or whatever it is? Like, is he on a webcam? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so like out of place in my opinion. And I need that part to be done already. I just hoping that after Full Gear, like I mentioned last week, it is the last we're going to see of Adam Cole, Kingdom and MJF in any kind of capacity on screen together for at least for a while.
Yeah, when I first watched this, I thought to myself that maybe Malachi Black might be going in a new direction. Maybe House of Black might be breaking up. Maybe something's going on with this group. Then hearing the reports of him maybe leaving, that obviously makes a whole bunch of sense to me. Watching this, though, I felt like there was a story in this match that commentary was trying to fill in, but I don't think the people in the audience and myself didn't really understand it. It just really felt odd as a match on its own, Jimmy. It also feels weird. First to three wins, and I don't think Roderick Strong has any yet. And now
he's got one.
Oh, he did have one.
Was from like Collision. From a Collision, yeah. Or maybe it was Rampage, but nobody watched.
Right. Commentary didn't mention, I don't think, Roderick Strong's winning. So it feels very much like an afterthought. I don't know this. It feels very much like they're just trying to burn through a story that they promised they were going to tell or something. I don't know. I'm not really digging it.
No, that's one of the problems they do have is they tend to burn through stories. I noticed the other thing, too, was the crowd started to turn on Adam Cole in this match because as soon as Malachi Black hit his finish and he kicked out, they booed. They booed the fact that he kicked out of Malachi Black's finish. And at the end of it, like you said, him sitting there cross-legged, letting Adam Cole hit his finish and just taking it like that and getting up. And it almost felt like their own version of the curtain call. That's how I read it when I was like, okay, this looks very odd. It looks like almost like saying goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We wish you well in your future endeavors kind of thing. It was very interesting. And in that sense, but also didn't make sense. If that makes sense.
just weird, very weird match. Hopefully whatever happens with Malachi Black is good for everyone involved, whether it's something new in AW, whether him leaving and doing something else or going somewhere else. I hope everyone's happy with it. This match just did feel weird, though, if we're being honest. Later, MJF pays Don Callis to do some business for him, which I'm assuming means get involved, and we'll see that later on in the night. Adam Page and Jay White have a run in during an interview with Jay White. Adam Page attacks Switchblade before Hangman can cause some serious damage. Juice Robinson makes the save. Adam Page retreats as Jay White says he'll be the first to make Adam Page tap out. George, Jay White's a great promo. I love Jay White. I love Adam Page. I'm digging these two guys. I'm digging Juice Robinson being involved. It's all characters I love. Clearly, he's the good guy now, Jay White, that is, because he's calling out to the crowd and getting their support.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, I guess they're going full-fledged babyface now. And I hope they stay that way, because I know at times they're very maybe back and forth with, oh, he's a heel this week, he's a babyface that week. But yeah, either way, I think Jay White has all the talent in the world, and I can't wait to see him. What's going to happen to him after this feud? I feel like maybe Paige is going to get this one back, you know, because Jay White won the last one. But either way, I think this is going to be a great match that we see at Full Gear. And I'm so with Juice Robinson. He's that guy that I hate him, but I love him at the same time because he just adds so much color to whatever he's in. He's that guy. And we talk about people that do this all the time, whether it's on WWE or AEW, that he's a guy that no matter how much TV time he's got, he's going to take advantage of every single second that he's on TV.
I won't get into fantasy booking, but I want to see Mark Briscoe versus Juice Robinson, and just two guys who are absolutely nuts go at each other on the microphone. It'd be so fun. But Jimmy, let me know your thought. How are you feeling about JY, Adam Page, and Juice Robinson in this case? Something I'm kind of not getting, though, is they're really pushing this injured leg to Adam Page thing. And it feels like it's irrelevant completely until every now and again, Jay White will say, I know your leg is injured. I don't know. That's not really clicking for me. The rivalry is, but it feels like they're definitely adding this little, thing that clearly is going to be an issue in the match.
They're adding it, but it's not necessary, I don't think, for this situation. I'm enjoying this. I like the fact that Jay White is now clearly a babyface, as opposed to before, where you weren't sure. He was kind of on the fence. I hate the tweener thing because that's what he felt like. Now it's a clear cut. He's the babyface. Hangman's the heel. Here we go. Juice Robinson is the added feature to this rivalry, which is a lot of fun. You know what? I found it funny the way he just snagged the chair away from Hangman and kind of skipped away with it. It's not like the usual yank the chair and go, hey, what do you think you're doing? It was like, I got the chair. And he kind of takes off. I popped when I saw that. I thought it was hilarious, but I think I'm going to enjoy this feud when it gets going. I don't think they need to add that wrinkle with the leg injury to Hangman.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel like Juice Robinson reminds me of a cartoon character that accidentally put his finger in a light socket and like his hair is all crazy. He's all like, I'm Juice Robinson. I imagine if you superimposed him turning into a skeleton every couple seconds, like he was being electrocuted, it would fit perfectly.
You know what? You know what I feel like? If he did something like that, like stick his finger in the light socket, after a few seconds, he'd go, hey, that was cool, and do it again.
Yeah. Juice Robinson I love Juice Robinson. He's so much fun. Someone else who is just a barrel of laughs, Christian Cage. He comes out. and he explains that Kip Sabian saved his contract and Kip has done more for him than any of Christian's other sons. Hook arrives and Christian explains he only attacked Hook because he wanted to make sure he could be disciplined. Cage then asks if Hook wants to be an announcer or if he wants to be a champion. Christian eventually says he wishes Hook's dad was dead before Hook takes out security and Cage leaves the ring. Jimmy, this is just yet another masterclass by Christian.
This guy has got every tool in the book. I mean, you want to get heat, and he gets genuine heel heat. And that's what I love about Christian. A lot of people don't love him, but I do. Mm-hmm. I think he's great. And the reasons he gave for taking out his dad, saying, I want to be your father kind of figure, that sort of thing. He knows all the right buttons to push, and he did them here.
Yeah, that I want to make sure you can be disciplined is one of those things that just like hits in a way like, oh, you're a terrible person. Mm-hmm.
I know you about to say another word there, but
yeah,
it came close.
It's got to keep the language right. Yep. George, when they showed what Kip Sabian did to save Christian, how the Blackpool or the Death Riders were there waiting to stop him from cashing in. Do you think that was always the plan for them to have this moment, or did they reverse engineer that? Because I remember when that happened, thinking that was kind of weird looking. But now that the story's been told like a month later, I'm like, oh, wow, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to give them credit. I think this was the plan. I think it's brilliant how they kind of inserted Kip Sabian. We all thought that he was there to kind of get some revenge on whatever. But even though there was nothing to get revenge for, because, you know, he was never really taken out by Christian Cage and his patriarchy. So the fact that he's in there, I think I'm happy for Kip Sabian now that he's a guy that I think he's a day one guy, yeah, and he's finally getting the TV time. You know, I know he had that thing with Miro being the best man, and that kind of went nowhere. I know him and Penelope are married, so you know, they both got a lot of good TV time today. But yeah, I'm happy with what they're doing. I think, and this is no disrespect to Jericho, or maybe it is, I think Christian Cage and Hook, this program is benefiting Hook a lot more than than what Hook did with Chris Jericho. And that just goes to show just how great Christian Cage is in pretty much any role that he's in, and how great he is at just getting that heat, brother. Like, it's just so good. Yeah. I can't wait. And I'm really hoping that when the time comes that he gets to be AEW world champion.
I don't know how I hope so as well, George. I don't know how much control he has over what happens on TV, but I will notice his stuff does always have a bit more of that slow burn thing where like he's slowly doing like the Nick Wayne versus Kip Sabian thing that will eventually happen for sure is slowly building. And now we see little bits of it happening as we are going. But also just the way he's slowly talking to Hook and slowly, even in this promo, he didn't just come out and say, I wanted you to join or I wish your dad was dead. He slowly got there and was like, you know, hey, do you want to be an announcer like your dad or do you want to be a champion like me? And he's just so good. He is. Like I said, for my dollar, he's the best bad guy in pro wrestling right now. As far as the character he plays, he's the best.
He takes his time on the mic and he tells stories and he tells you exactly what is on his mind, and that works. And, you know, like George said, the guy's a heat magnet, both in and out of the ring. But that...
And he, even with like the, I know Luchasaurus hasn't been on TV for a little bit and hopefully he's doing well. But even that, like, when was the first time that Christian Cage kind of, or Luchasaurus teased some kind of split from Christian? That was like maybe like over a year ago. And the fact that, you know, right, you know, they're still kind of going with that goes to show that sometimes maybe you do need that slow burn. But yeah, like I said, I think that just goes to show how good maybe then everybody involved is just, you know, they're trying to really knock this out of the park to the point where when Christian Cage hopefully becomes AEW World Champion, people are going to be like, yeah, dude, like that totally makes sense. He is the number one guy. He deserves to be champion.
I got to give Him Jung Eun a shout out. It says RVD slow burns as well.
Oh man.
We also, speaking of Kip Sabian, Penelope Ford had a match with Jamie Hayter. Ford was looking for revenge for being injured at the hands of Hayter a few years ago. Penelope is able to dominate early, but Hayter eventually gets the win. George, we've seen this before, kind of a quick matchup for Jamie Hayter getting a win. I'm a fan of Penelope Ford, though. I hope she gets more TV time. Any takeaways?
My takeaway is, if this was done to showcase Penelope Ford, then bravo, because I thought she looked amazing in every single way. If this was done to showcase Jamie Hayter, then shame on people, because this, I don't think, benefited Jamie Hayter. I think she looked like she squeaked by a victory. And for somebody who is a former AEW Women's World Champion and probably somebody that's going to push sometime in the near future, you know, I feel like she needs to be not dominant, but I don't feel like she should have squeaked by a victory. But other than that, then like I said, I thought Penelope looked great, and that was my biggest takeaway.
Jimmy, this is one of those ones where, you know, we talked earlier in the night about like not someone who we haven't seen on TV in a while. Penelope Ford, unfortunately, one of those people we haven't seen on TV in a while. I agree with George. I thought she looked fantastic tonight. Jamie Hayter clearly seems in line for a big run, and she should be. She's very popular. But Penelope Ford made the most of her minutes.
Exactly. And that's what she did. She maximized those minutes she was on television, and she got people to notice. You know, who went over in the match?
Well, I think who went over or who got over?
Yeah, no, I'm saying who went over in the match and who are we talking about?
Yeah, Jamie Hayter won, but
speaks volumes. Speaks volumes.
We had a couple promos. Mina's coming and there's a QR code. Okada is looking to win the Continental Classic again, and Chris Statlander got hit by a car and then decided to just beat the bricks off of Camille and break Mercedes Bank. George, Todd, any thoughts on any of these on these segments here?
First off, I need Mina to have a new theme song. Because
it's like Tanta Medora.
It reminds me too much of that song that you hear at every single Latin party.
Medora, it's a banger.
Yeah, but you know, I keep thinking of that song. By the way, the fact that you know the name of that song and I don't says a lot about me personally. It says a lot about mostly
me. I'm a DJ. I know them all.
But I mean, the fact that I didn't even know the name of the song. It's a Manos Pariva. Whatever.
You know, you can mix that right out of Suavemente as a good banger. The banger combo at the Latin parties.
I am dying to go to one of the Latin parties that you DJ, by the way.
I'm surprised. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I can only imagine. What were we talking about? Oh, by the way, Chris Statlander leaving work early. Like, what, you can just leave before the show starts. But I think the biggest takeaway was
that's where she got hit with the car because she was like,
Mercedes talking down to Camille. I think that was kind of something that stood out to me. Kind of saying like, oh, you never get anything right, you know. Something like, to that extent. It kind of shows off that, like, going back to last week, which a lot of people were complaining here that Camille lost. That she shouldn't have lost to Chris Statlander. So maybe that's kind of touching upon the story that they're trying to tell with Mercedes maybe talking down to her. And now we're going to eventually see Camille maybe be the one that dethrones Mercedes for the TBS championship. So maybe that's something. But yeah, I liked it. I dug it. I had no problem with the segment aside from Statlander leaving early leaving work early.
Yeah, Jimmy, your thoughts on this one? I feel like the major takeaway you're going to mention is Camille looked like a chump because she hit some of their car and she still got wrecked by this person.
I think, Jack, you're reading my mind here. I mean, can somebody sell a motor vehicle accident, getting hit by a car, a bus, whatever it is, please? I mean, anybody who's ever been hit by a car can tell you you're not going to get up and beat the crap out of the person who just ran you over.
Roddy Piper did.
Well, that's different. And hey, it's contrary to popular opinion. He took that. That was him.
Yeah.
Someone claimed that it was a stunt double. It wasn't a stunt double. That was Roddy. He did it. But anyways, that's the only thing. I mean, we know it's pro wrestling, it's sports entertainment, but we want some essence of realism in it. And if you get hit by a vehicle, stay down. That's all simple. And then you can even, if you want to start that little thing with her and Mercedes, have Camille turn to Mercedes Moné. Are you happy now? And have her walk away.
Yeah. This didn't land for me because, it made, first off, as soon as it happened, I was thinking, oh man, Jimmy's going to be so upset that she didn't sell getting hit by a car, which is fair. I'm not making fun. I just, you've had the conversations before about certain things, not keeping someone down. It's like, this person was hit by an SUV and didn't keep her down. But also because Camille seemed like she messed up, like she and Mercedes was upset about it. And then they also got beat up. And it was just this huge, like it made Mercedes and Camille kind of look like dummies. Mm-hmm. And they they look like the bumbling idiot like group, you know, like if Chris Statlander was one of the Ninja Turtles, she seemed like Bebop and Rocksteady, the warthog and the rhino, you know, that are supposed to be silly because they were kind of dumb. Like I would have rather if they're going to do this, Camille hits Statlander and then Mercedes and Camille get out and beat her up and like look like they did it on purpose as opposed to be like, oh, what'd you do? Oh, you know, this is, I don't know. This didn't land for me.
Or even if you want to do it, have Mercedes going, what are you doing? And have Camille just give that look. Simple. I mean, you don't even have to beat her up afterwards. The truck did all the work for you.
Yeah, maybe Camille says, you wanted me to do it your way, now I'm doing it my way. And it's kind of like, ooh, this is a scary Camille now.
And now you get that grin from Mercedes. Yes, that's the heater I wanted.
Leonard Jones says, they were like those two goofs from the Power Rangers. Yeah.
Bulk and Skull? Not Bulk and Skull.
Wait, who is Bulk and Skull? Is it there's the golden armor wolf guy, right?
Oh, I thought they meant the two friends. Not the friends, but Bulk and Skull.
In the chat and in the comments, if you're here this late, your favorite bumbling bad guy team. How about the two from they were like the two from Home Alone. We're in the holiday season almost here. We can how about those two?
I always like the two from Boy Meets World. Joey and Frankie.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, let us know your favorite bumbling bad guy duo. There's a lot of good ones out there. As we get into the main event, Takeshita and Fletcher versus Ricochet and Powerhouse Hobbs returning. The Hearst Syndicate, by the way, watching this one, Ricochet brings out Powerhouse Hobbs to be his partner. A fun match with everyone looking great, but in the end, it's Ricochet getting the win, but also getting a few chair shots from Kyle Fletcher. Davis comes out to stop his old pal, but Brian Cage and Lance Archer are on the scene to punish Davis. Adam Cole decides he wants a piece of the action with Takeshita, and then Ospreay returns. George, give me your breakdown of all the action in this main event.
I totally forgot about Powerhouse Hobbs. Even when he was saying, like, he used to be a member of the Callis family, I'm like, who was he talking about? Like, I thought it was going to be Ospreay the whole time, to be honest with you. But yeah, when Hobbs came out, I'm like, oh yeah. And don't get me wrong, I loved it. I think the world of Hobbs. So I'm happy that he's back. He's been out for a while. And like I said, I completely forgot about him. But I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the action was fun. Ricochet, obviously, we're seeing a match upcoming with Ricochet and Takeshita for the, what championship does he have? The International Championship. Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch. But yeah, we saw a little preview of this. We saw a lot of hoopla at the end, Mark Davis and Will Ospreay coming back. So that's going to set up a nice little fun week of wrestling, whether it's on Collision or next week on Dynamite.
I can't read what the paper says, but I got a feeling it has to do with a bag of potatoes.
Well, it says 20 and 10. I don't have my Sharpie with me, but
I saw this and I feel like I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to let you say it, Jimmy.
No, I the match was fine. Again, it was the ending. There was a lot too much trying to get too much stories in when you have other programs, utilize those other programs. And the other thing that bothered me during the match, we get the announcement from Tony Schiavone, who said, we'll get the announcement from Tony Khan in the back that next week, Adam Cole is going to face Takeshita. Is he not? Did we not hear that? Right.
Yeah, we did.
So why the guy that's going to face Adam Cole, who's trying to get three wins in a row to face MJF, why did he get pinned in a tag match the week before? That to me makes absolutely zero sense.
Well, because they don't want to pin Fletcher at this point.
No, I get that, but you're pinning a guy going into a match that Adam Cole needs to win. So you're feeding him a guy who just ate a pin the week before. And he's a champion as well. So to me, that kind of fell flat. I don't understand with it. That makes no sense.
I get what you're saying. I guess Fletcher can't take the pin right now. And I don't know how else you break up this team. Because if it was Lance Archer or Brian Cage in the match, that'd be kind of weird because they're a tag team as well. But I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to think about how they could maneuver that differently. But yeah, I agree with you. There's just too much stuff happening. I think that Kyle Fletcher is in a spot where it's good to have a lot of irons in the fire and places you can go. But when they're all coming in the ring, like Mark Davis and Ricochet seems to be on the horizon, Will Ospreay clearly here. To me, it feels like there's just too much happening. And I don't think we needed Takeshita and Adam Cole to have that quick moment. And I think it took away from, like, Mark Davis felt very forgettable after all this because all the other people that were there, and Will Hobbs just came back, and it was kind of it felt like they could have had just Will Hobbs and then saved Ospreay for next week or something along those lines. They had so much stuff they could have done here. Also, like, I feel like Ospreay, why'd you cut your hair, man? We just had Kyle Fletcher shave. If that's Kyle Fletcher, I'm like, bro, I shaved my head. And now you cut your hair too? What are we doing here?
So now he's going to go have to get hair plugs now to get it back. I don't know.
But
you said, Jack, really quickly, early in the night, what did we see? Two stories get told and furthered in the match with Jericho and Ishii and Mark Briscoe moving off in different direction. They were able to tell two different stories and branch these guys off. And in this one, it felt like they just kept running people out to try and get these, let's cram it in there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think they could have slowed this down quite a bit. In fact, I think even though it would have been a little weird, I think maybe just having Lance Archer be Fletcher's partner, maybe he takes the pin, and you just keep Takeshita out of it and save Cole and Takeshita for another time. And sure. I don't know if I don't know if right now is the time you want Mark Davis involved in all this. Maybe Mark Davis comes back after the Will Ospreay match or something. But now, with all respect to Mark Davis, and George, maybe your opinion on this. Like, I'm a Mark Davis fan. I was a fan of their tag team, but Fletcher has done so much since he's been gone, and now he's in a rivalry with Will Ospreay. This is a very high level thing, and Mark Davis is kind of like, oh yeah, you're back. You know,
welcome to professional wrestling, and especially when it comes to injuries. Like that's exactly why people, you know, are afraid of getting hurt, of just getting lost in the shuffle. And I think Mark Davis is going to be example or exhibit A when it comes to getting lost in the shuffle. Yeah, once this storyline's over, as far as the Ospreay and the Fletcher, in 2 months, I'm really hoping that we see something Mark Davis that is something relevant in, because if he's not, then that's pretty much, you know. So we'll see how maybe he's going to end up being the biggest superstar in the entire world. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I would have liked to see him maybe join Kyle Fletcher and the Callis family, just because maybe he's aware of getting lost in the shuffle, but also not taking anything away from the elevation that we've seen from Kyle Fletcher and everything that he's done in the last couple months. Hopefully it's just wait and see.
Or you give him singles matches against some lower end guys and he's winning, and you get some interviews with Renee in the back saying like, hey, I was a part of a tag team, but my partner left me high and dry, and he's just kind of dropping these seeds. And then when Kyle Fletcher sort of gotten through those, then they have their title, their match. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this is seeds were planted. This makes sense. It's a story here. Once Kyle Fletcher gets an opening in the schedule, so to speak.
But I will say this about Kyle Fletcher. At least we're getting that Kyle Fletcher glimpses of that guy that everybody says, this guy's a future world champion. We're getting glimpses of that now. So that's a good thing.
I will say that I think there was a little steps forward, steps back, because we saw an amazing, and I saw somebody mentioned on the chat, we saw an amazing match with him and Commander on Collision. I mean, I'm talking, this match was phenomenal, but it didn't need to be phenomenal. It needed to be a showcase for Kyle Fletcher. Going back to what I said about Hayter, it was Fletcher squeaking out a victory when he needed to show his dominance, right? Because I'm seeing a lot of Randy Orton vibes, even where we're seeing the middle rope draping DDT. I'm seeing, and I mean that in a good way, because Randy Orton's one of the best of all time. So I'm seeing a lot of vibes with Kyle Fletcher. So we need to see him be dominant, or at least showcase just how good he is, not having to barely win a 15-minute match over some guy that, you know, is not even close to any kind of title picture.
I think it's okay on Collision. I think it's fun. Collision and Rampage, I think just give them a show. I don't think it really matters Joy J says we need 8 and 10 man tag team titles now. I agree, let's do it.
Everybody gets a belt.
Oprah's here, you get a belt, you get a belt. This was a fun show. I enjoyed it. Jimmy, and everyone in the chat, overall thoughts. And Jimmy, where can we find you online?
I thought for the most part, the in-ring stuff I enjoyed. There were, of course, little things I could nitpick about, which I already did, so you don't have to hear them again. So as far as where you can find me, here with you guys on Wednesday nights, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, got to throw him a shout-out. He holds that glue together. This week, he had a little chat with Chris Van Fleet, so it was a fun little talk with him. And huge pop radio here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio. My friend Donnie DeSilva and I have a little radio show that we do. And this week we talked to Sin Bodhi. A lot of you may know him as Kizarni. Nice little chat with him as well. And of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, tightening screws that I believe need tightening. And if you want to disagree or agree, that's fine. Just do it in a nice way. Because if you're nice, I'll be nice. If you're not, you get snarky Canadian heat magnet.
And you don't want that. Just be nice. I mean, it's wrestling. Just have fun with it. You don't have to be so serious sometimes.
I'm Canadian. What can I tell you?
George, final thoughts on this week's AEW Dynamite, and where can we find you online?
Sin Bodhi's a fascinating individual. Great guy, by the way. Overall, I thought it was a good show. But it needed to be a more stacked show considering what they were going up against. And on honestly, I cannot wait to watch NXT from the ECW arena. I think that has a lot of buzz going into it. And I feel like AEW needed to kind of bring the fire a little bit more when it comes to these kind of shows. Because how often do we get to see these head-to-head shows? I know we saw not too long ago on that Title Tuesday, whatever it was, but now we're not, because of the election. I know it's on a Wednesday, so I feel like they should have brought a little bit more, because that's what made, you know, this AEW NXT war back in October of 2019 so much fun, that the Broach just brought it. And I feel like, as good of a show it was, they should have had a little bit more like firepower, I guess you can say. But I mean, overall, it wasn't bad, but I just feel like it needed to be better. But yeah, not too bad. With that said, you can follow me at G Hermoza, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z-A. A little less than a week ago, we dropped an exclusive interview with Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright, conducted by Jack Farmer himself. That was a very fun interview. Like I said, afterwards, Alex Wright said, you know, he had a lot of fun, that it was some great questions that were being asked. So, you know, like I said, I know me and Jack kind of get a little powwow before we do an interview, kind of saying like, how do we make this different than what we see on, you know, something else, right? Because there are Alex Wright interviews out there, but how do we make this one right here stand out? And I like to think that we did that, not just with that one, but with other interviews, like with Al Snow, with Buff Bagwell, you know, with Barry Horowitz, with Eugene. So give it a like, comment, subscribe, The Wrestling Chatter on YouTube. Yeah, let me know what you guys think. I got some fun stuff coming up very soon that I'm in the works. So
yeah, definitely check it out. The Alex Wright one was really fun. I asked him, he runs a wrestling school, obviously. And so I asked him, what does he tell people day one? What's the first day of wrestling school look like? And I think a lot of people who aren't in the pro wrestling industry would be fascinated to see what someone like Alex Wright makes sure you go through day one. Also, I asked him if he can tell day one if someone's going to make it big as a pro wrestler. See what he says in that interview. You find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I enjoyed this week's episode. I do think that the reason we got Hobbs and Ospreay and Malakai Black was because they were trying to pull up the stops. Unfortunately, if you don't know Ospreay is going to be here, you don't know to tune in.
Yeah,
exactly. So, but I think that's probably why we got a lot of stuff going on. That said, as far as the ratings go, I don't care.
Yeah, can we? But I want to say, considering that we saw Kenny Omega announce him for New Japan, it would have been nice to have something Kenny Omega related on this episode.
Mm-hmm. I think they have something planned for him, though. I don't think they want to mess that up for one show.
Right.
But we'll see if it makes sense. Maybe they'll regret it. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm with you, Jack. For me tonight, numbers don't matter about this sort of thing. Numbers mattered last night for you guys.
Yeah, sure did. I won't get into it. That's
that's a different podcast.
That's a very different podcast. But that does it for us here. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news. And make sure to tune in on Friday for the After SmackDown show, where I believe it'll be Glenn and Flobo chatting all about pro wrestling on Fridays. And I don't think we have a PLE this weekend. So
really? Weekend off?
Don't watch anyone. Just don't tune in.
We have Collision this Saturday.
Maybe we have George will be colliding. So follow him on social media and let's look at his hot takes. That does it for us. I'm gonna hit the end stream button. Have a good night.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.